Good morning. As Pastor Sam shared, I'm Peter. Did you tell them where I pastor? Okay. I have the wonderful privilege and the joy of pastoring in San Diego, one of the nicest cities, the warm-weathered cities in America. But I've been there for now 10 years, ministering in San Diego. The church is called Kairos Christian Church, and so if any of you happen to be visiting San Diego or vacationing, we'd love for you to visit. One thing you kind of discover as you perhaps visit other sister churches of Acts Ministries International is the way in which kind of you could tell the culture of the church, the personality, maybe the demographic, the makeup of the church kind of differs. There's similarities, obviously, but there's also a little difference here and there. And I think partially it is a reflection of the pastor's temperament, the lead pastor and the staff persona, perhaps the giftedness of each pastor. And so one of the things that I sense about Catalyst, my perspective, my view of Catalyst is one of the strengths of Catalyst stemming from, I believe, Pastor Sam's strength and giftedness is kind of the prophetic ministry. That's part of God's, the way in which God ministers to people. And so I've learned a lot from Pastor Sam. I look at him as one of the mentors for me to help me along this process and really being able to learn a little bit more about the prophetic ministry. And so I asked him, I know Pastor Sam, your church, you probably are teaching this prophetic ministry a lot. Your church has been moving in this area much deeper, further, wider, whatever it may be ahead of us. But do you think it's okay if I come and share a message on this? And he said, go ahead, you know, it's okay. I feel a little bit like, you know, the college freshman coming in, taking physics 101, and I'm asking the physics professor, can I share with you a little bit of my insights? And he said, yeah, sure, go ahead, if that's what you want to speak on. And obviously, my little wisdom will elevate Pastor Sam and go, oh, he knows so much more than this pastor from San Diego. But I share this message for a couple reasons. What I've discovered in this prophetic ministry is the kind of the entry points, the ways in which prophetic ministry becomes part of your ministry. You, meaning you as an individual, you as a corporate you, the church as well, but particularly you as an individual. And what I've discovered is some people will kind of get into this ministry through the divine appointment, the sovereignty, the work of the Holy Spirit. I've heard the term zapped, in a sense. You're just zapped by God. You're just zapped by the Holy Spirit. And this prophetic ministry has surfaced now. It was dormant, or it was received, however you see it. And it's part of your ministry. And praise the Lord for that kind of entry point. Well, that's not me. I wish that would happen to me. I've wished for so many years that I would also get zapped, in a sense, by the Holy Spirit, where I can come from a conference, and next thing I know, I'm prophesying over you and prophetic ministry, word to you. And no matter how many conferences or Pastor Sam laying hands trying to impart this gift, nothing, okay? And so my entry point has been more of a journey, a process of learning, of risking, of trial and error to some degree, learning from those, receiving prayer continually, and that's been my journey. And I've discovered that journey is more akin to a lot of us in this room. That there are those like Pastor Sam, and my wife too is kind of on that kind of a spectrum. As much as there are people like that, there's also a lot of us who are like, well, that doesn't happen to me. And I realized rather than sitting idle, just kind of sitting on the sideline thinking, okay, let them do it, let them have all the fun, we'll just read the Bible like normal people. that we too, and I love the Bible, we too can engage in prophetic ministry and process through these things. That's my encouragement to you. My journey, really, my wife, I've seen my wife kind of engage in this and do this. And the first time I remember her coming back from a conference, I could literally tell her prayer, kind of tone, authority, The way she prays, the way she ministered, there was a radical difference between pre-conference and post-conference. And I was like, oh, I missed the mother conference of them all. I should have been there. I realize now, had I been there, nothing would have happened to me either, right? And so my journey was really this observation. It starts from observation. Those who are prophetically gifted, like, I just started watching them. I started kind of hovering around them. Rather than praying with them, I was that weird stalker who's just kind of staring at the person ministering. Pastor Sam came to our church about 5-6 years ago, and he's ministering to our college students, to our young adults at our retreat. And he would just go up to them and he would lay his hands and start praying over our people. And our people are responding, they're reacting. You could see tears in their eyes. You could see kind of something is going on. And I was like, that's great. So I want to see what Pastor Sam does. So I went near to him and I just started watching him. I'm studying his body language. I'm just looking at him. And this is very memorable for me. He just goes up. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. I'm like, that's it? Like, there's got to be something more spectacular, more sensational than God loves you. But the people in our church were just really receiving ministry, and they're being thoroughly touched, and I'm like, that's amazing. So I went to other people, and I mimicked Pastor Sam. I said, God loves you. No, Jesus loves you. Nothing, right? Nothing. And it's not that I'm looking for tears or reaction or something like that, a manifestation. But that's just where I was. And I realized at that moment I had a choice to say, okay, that's him. I'll do other things. And there is partial truth to that. But for me, I wanted to grow in this. I wanted to grow so that when I also prayed for people, when I wanted to encourage them, that they too would be encouraged. I would ask my wife sometimes, she would say something like, I see a word, I see a word, I see faith, I see faith. I'm like, that's so cool. What does it look like? Is it black letters on white background? Or is it white letters on a black background? When you see the word faith, is it bold print? Is it Times New Roman font? Is it Arial font? What do you see? You know, and you're laughing, and I get it, the silliness of such a question. And she's like, just leave me alone and let me pray, right? Stop asking these silly questions. But that's where I was. That's just a way in which I was inquisitive and I wanted to grow. One of the main passages that helped me to grow in this is a passage that you may be familiar with, is 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 3. So can we just take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Is it up there? Okay, it's not up there, but I'll read. It says in 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 3, as Paul is talking about spiritual gifts and the way it ought to be used for the benefit of the church, ought to be used with the spirit of unity. When he gets to the prophetic ministry, he says, you know, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Okay? Follow the way of love. I think a lot of us in the church today, we desire this. But he also says, now eagerly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This, I don't know if we get this right all the time, but that's Paul's word to the Corinthian church and to us. And then after he says this, he says, especially prophecy. Follow the way of love, eagerly desire spiritual gift, ask for it, desire it. And he says, particularly, he gives attention to the word, the gift, prophecy. Go after that. Desire it. Ask the Lord to activate it, or whatever language you use, to use it as part of your ministry. Verse 2, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. And indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. He's talking about the gift of tongues here. But he comes back in verse 3 to highlight the ministry of prophecy. But he says, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. The one who prophesies What are we doing? We're basically engaged in the ministry of strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. And I don't know about you, but I go through every single day, every single week, every season, where I could use a little bit more of strengthening, encouraging, encouragement, and comfort. I think all of us can relate to that. And I've realized this is really a thrust of the prophetic ministry. I have a lot that I've kind of studied through, but I just, for the sake of time, want to focus on just a couple points. And again, the encouragement is to just encourage the body to keep going, Catalyst. But also, there may be some who are like, yeah, Pastor Sam does that, you know, maybe so-and-so does that, but I'll just enjoy, I'll just receive. But I hope you too can receive today's insights, encouragement, and give it a try. Walk a little bit further. Make some progress in this kind of prophetic ministry. So I'm going to skip over some of the notes that I had and get to what I think will encourage us in this process. One way of understanding this, I don't know if you can see the letters, is there's nothing so like fancy or spectacular about prophetic ministry. In fact, I want to kind of bring it to what is sort of normal practice for, I think, many of you. In the Old Testament, because we have a God who speaks to his people and has a relationship, and one of the dynamics, one of the things that we need in terms of building a relationship is to talk to one another, is to communicate. The better the communication in our marriages, we realize the better the relationship. It usually goes that way. And so we have a God who communicates with us. And so he gave two primary offices, right? He gave two primary roles that we see in Scripture where we speak to God and God speaks to us, okay? This is just very simple Christian faith worldview. For us to speak to God, God raised up priests. And so priests would hear the needs of the people, dealing with the sins of the people, and the priests would offer up sacrifices, and the priests on our behalf would talk to God. Now, God also wanted to talk to us because he communicates, and so he would raise up prophets to now speak to us in return. That dynamic. Now, the church has been given the Spirit of God to continue this dynamic. Now, the priestly role, I think a lot of us, if we've kind of grown up in the church, evangelical church, I think it's kind of normal to us. We'll have a conversation in a small group. He'll tell me what's going on in his work or in his marriage or whatever it may be, and he'll share these things. And as I listen, I say, bro, can I pray for you? And I then kind of, I'm walking into that priestly role. I would like to speak on your behalf of your needs and give them to the Lord. Right? I'm taking on that kind of the priestly dynamic. Now, I know there's some social anxiety praying for someone, trying to sound all theologically correct, grammatically correct, all of those things. But generally, you're in Christianity or church life long enough, you kind of get used to taking on that priestly role, don't you? Parents pray for their children. Spouses may pray for their spouses. It's a priestly dynamic. Now, the other dynamic then is the prophetic dynamic, where now God has something to say to you, to your family, to the one that you're praying for. God may say, well, tell that guy, I got his job covered. Tell that person not to worry. Tell that person, this is where I want him to really focus on in this season of life. And you sense that. You go, well, God wants to say something to you. Can I share that with you? I think this is what he's saying. That's the prophetic ministry. You know, I'm really trying to demystify it to some degree. I get it. Sometimes it gets a little bit mystical. It gets sensationalized. Wow, that prophet is in town. But I think what's really going on is this dynamic that we've seen where God just wants to relate to us. And as much as he is our shepherd and we recognize his voice, he just wants that communicating dynamic with us. And just as normal, kind of, in a way, it's not, whoa, that was weird, you are a priest today. you don't have to have that same kind of, response to a prophetic ministry. Well, that was cool. Thanks for sharing with me what God seems to be laying on your heart. As I began to kind of understand this dynamic more, I was like, okay, then it's not something I have to get zapped by. I can just recognize the shepherd's voice, tune into it, figure it out, and then begin to share. Now, obviously, this prophetic ministry in the New Testament church does not equate to the prophets of the Old Testament. Those guys, when they spoke, it was scripture. It was the word of God. It was thus saith the Lord. In the prophetic ministry today, we have clues in New Testament that says test things. You know? Paul, when he was prophesied over by Agabus, says, yeah, thank you, but I'll just kind of go this way. So, and then the word of God also says, yeah, testing things, discern that. Discern what is really prophecy. So we understand the prophetic ministry today is not in the same, equal to scripture. So we take that and we just say, I think this is what the Lord is saying, but I could be wrong. I could be a little bit off, but what I sense is this for you. Now, where you become more and more on the side, this might be God, becomes, I think it is God, maybe it really is God, and it increases, is where for me, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, what I'm about to share, is it going to strengthen you? Is it going to encourage you? Is it going to comfort you? Because if it has that quality about what I'm about to share with you, then it's more certain, it's more probable that I think this is what God is saying. And you're able to more freely express those words. I think this is what God is saying. And what is going on, I believe, in that person receiving prayer is, I'm being strengthened. You know, I'm being encouraged. Thanks for that. I'm definitely being comforted in this situation. That's the way in which I understand prophetic ministry. Another point that I want to make, I'm going to skip. Here's Sam Storms. He's a pastor in Oklahoma City. He says, to say something on behalf of God to others as a resulting of the prompting of the Spirit. That's all it is, okay? I'm going to go to a different point. This point. There's a definitive connection between the Holy Spirit's work, the Holy Spirit, and prophetic ministry. Now, in some sense, if I read that, it may sound like, okay, the Holy Spirit is needed for prophetic ministry, and he is, absolutely, he is needed for prophetic ministry. Without him, it's anything else, but with him, it's prophetic ministry. But what I mean by that is there is such a close connection when we survey scripture. We ought to be expecting it. We ought to be expecting it in our church. We ought to be expecting it in my life. As we desire, as we have been given the Holy Spirit and sealed by him, sealed with him, and as we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, that one of the activities that follow as the Holy Spirit fills us is actually prophetic ministry. And so if you have felt like, well, the Holy Spirit is working, he is really filling my life, filling my heart, then kind of begin to open yourselves up and look for the opportunity to minister to others with prophetic ministry. That's the point that I'm trying to say. Let's look at a few passages that make this point. In Numbers chapter 22, this is in the time of Moses. It says, however, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. And they were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Okay, where the tent of the meeting is. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, on Eldad and Medad, and they prophesied in the camp. So on Eldad and Medad, the Spirit comes, they're prophesying. And so in comes a young man. Verse 27, young man ran to and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. It's kind of a warning. It's like an urgent warning. So Joshua, verse 28, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. They're not supposed to do this prophetic ministry. That's up to you, the prophet Moses. Stop Eldad and stop Medad. They shouldn't be doing that. And then Moses says, are you jealous for my sake? No, are you trying to preserve my position here? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. So his understanding is as the spirit falls on Moses, as the spirit falls on others, I wish everyone would prophesy. Everyone would have this ministry because of the Holy Spirit's activity. This shows up in 1 Samuel. And there's more. This is one more from Old Testament. The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, King Saul of the Old Testament, and you will prophesy with them, other prophets. You will be changed into a different person. So as the Holy Spirit falls on King Saul, he also will join with the other prophets, and he'll engage in the activity of prophecy. And again, Old Testament, when the Spirit is at work, prophetic words, prophetic utterances seem to follow. We go to New Testament, and I think I have a few examples. Luke, in chapter 1, this is Zechariah. This is the father of John the Baptist. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. I think Acts 2:17 and 18, Tay came up, and he shared that. He said this with so much authority. I could feel it, man. That was good, okay? But in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit. And in those days, they will prophesy. So this is the birth of the church passage. This is where there is no more distinction between men and women, the poor, the rich, the young, and the old. As the Spirit falls on all people, again, the scripture hints that prophecy, prophetic ministry will follow. And so when we review many of the passages, and I didn't do all of them, but thankfully this man did, Gary Tyra, and he writes a book about missiology and the Holy Spirit. He says this, the main strand of the Holy Spirit activity, whether in relation to Jesus or to his disciples, is conceived broadly in terms of prophetic power evidenced in word and deed. Okay, basically, Holy Spirit comes, there's prophetic power and word. And he says, in particular terms, such as like filled with, full of the Holy Spirit, are accompanied by prophetic speech. While the phrases anointing of the Spirit coming upon someone, is conceived as an empowering words which effects salvation or deliverance. Basically, he did a survey of the Old Testament and New Testament. Look for all the phrases filled with the Spirit or where the Spirit is coming upon someone. And what often followed was prophetic utterances, prophetic ministry. And all that to say, I think the author of Scripture, God Himself, is trying to drive home the main idea that when the Holy Spirit fills you, the church, when the Holy Spirit fills you, the individual, you can expect to grow in this prophetic ministry. You can expect God to use you in some way to understand, to discern and hear the voice of the shepherd, and to share that to the brother, to the sister, to the children, to the family, to the church. Why? Again, for the effects of strengthening that person, encouraging that person, or comforting that person in their situation. And again, for me, this was as basic as this may sound, of course, God is encouraging, you know, share that with someone. It's really helped me to walk more confidently in this journey of being used by the Holy Spirit for prophetic ministry. And that's my encouragement to many of us who I think are kind of like in that place, Pastor Sam, do it. I'll just receive it. I end with some example, which the main question is, how does it work? You ever wonder, how does it work? It's kind of like me looking at Pastor Sam, studying him, like, how does he do this stuff? Okay, so there are books that are now being written about this ministry, that they're wonderful tutors, you know, they're wonderful ways in which others who have walked in this ahead of us can mentor us and coach us. I don't know if you're the reading type. Are you the reading type? You know, I don't see pictures being taken of this slide, so it's okay, it's okay. Yeah, Pastor Sam, you don't need books. Okay. Too much pressure. But let me just share just a couple insights, like just one insight on how does it work. And I start with this kind of, before I get to the FOMO, okay? FOMO is fear of missing out, okay? Fear of missing out. I'm speaking to an older group, so I have to spell those things out. A young crowd, they're like, ah, FOMO, we know what it is. Yeah. Okay, I can laugh. I'm deviating. One time I was looking at these things, and I see the word M-E-M-E. What is a M-E-M-E? Meme, right? And I was looking at it, and I one day I turned to my wife, honey, what's a meme, right? Really, I asked, what's a meme? And she's like, what? I said, M-E-M-E. Everybody's saying M-E-M-E. What's a meme? And she just laughed at my face. It's called a meme. Okay. I'm just letting you know I'm more with you than I am with the young generation. Okay. So I'll get to the FOMO part. But the question, how does this work? How does like prophetic ministry work? I do explain part of this way. Some of you married folks, I don't know if like young singles have come up to you and say, hey, you've been married 20 years, you look so happy, it's so wonderful. How did you know that she was the one? How did you know she was the one for you? Have you ever been asked that question by single young adults kind of looking to get married or high school kids wondering, I'll also know? And so I know that usually the normal response that comes from that question is like, bro, you just know, right? When you meet her, you'll just know, man, you know? Don't ask, you just know, right? And then the young single is like, oh, that doesn't really help me that much. Okay, you just know. So am I supposed to feel something? Okay, so that's kind of like prophetic ministry. Like, how did you know that was God speaking to you? Bro, you just know. You just kind of know, you know? And again, I know the question is like, well, that doesn't really convince me. That doesn't really help me that much. But there is something intuitive, intuition, where the children of God, as John says in his gospel, begins to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. One clue to make sure you're hearing God is it encouraging, strengthening, and comforting, okay? And even if it wasn't the Lord who said that, the fact that you're encouraging, you're strengthening, and you're comforting is ministry through the Spirit, through you. So either way, it's not really that important. And one thing that I've learned about prophetic ministries is God will sometimes use pictures. And I used to wonder, why does he use pictures? Why pictures? Why does Pastor Sam come to me and I see you and I see the beautiful clouds and the rains are falling and season is coming and I'm like, that's awesome. But where does it say in the Bible that Paul saw pictures or like John the Baptist saw pictures and things like that? I get it. We see visions and dreams and things like that. But there's pictures. And so one day, FOMO explained what pictures can do. Okay, FOMO is this fear of missing out. It's very prevalent in today's media society culture because we're looking at, guess what? Pictures on our social media. And immediately you feel like it threatens my only source of real peace and joy. I was filled with gratitude and then I looked at Facebook. Now I'm angry because there's this party that's going on and everybody's there and you're the only one that's not there. And then there's this like FOMO thing happening. If it doesn't happen to you guys, praise the Lord. You're healed people, okay? But it happens to me every once in a while, okay? Let's not deny it, okay? So I'm gonna show you one picture. This is Big Bear, California. And please listen to this story from a Southern Californian perspective, okay? We have no snow in San Diego. It's like 70 degrees right now, and it'll be 72 this whole entire week. I don't know why you live in New Jersey. Okay, anyway, so that's... So anyways, okay, a couple winters ago, we decided, hey, let's show our daughter snow. She's never seen it before, okay? She's only seen it in movies. So we drive up to Big Bear. It's about an hour and a half, two-hour drive. We wanted to take our kids sledding. So we went up there, we got some sleds, and we went sledding. And as a result, this was the picture that we took after like kind of, is it frolicking in the snow? Like playing in the snow for like an hour? This is the picture we took. My wife took that picture, the selfie, and posted it on Facebook. And I knew my friends were experiencing FOMO, right? Like, ha ha ha, this is what the Yun family did this winter, ha, right? Okay, again, please, Southern Californian snow, it's rare occurrence. And then I was like kind of just, you know, scrolling down on Facebook, looking at what other people were doing that winter. They weren't cool like us, just looking at what they were doing. And then I saw this picture. And I was like, who is this picture? And it's one of my pastor friends in San Diego. And he didn't take his family to like play in the dirt, like sidewalk going down the sled. He did this in Vail, Colorado. I don't even know where Vail, Colorado is, but I felt like FOMO was happening. I should have been in Vail, not in Big Bear, okay? So you can kind of see what's sort of going on in our psyche, in our mind. I actually ran into my pastor friend about a month later. And so I was really talking, I said, hey man, Jamie, I saw your pictures. You took your family to Vail. I saw the pictures where you were climbing up this whole iced mountain or whatever it was. He was like, oh, it was so amazing. He's very expressive. It was amazing. And so in my kind of passive-aggressive, you know, little mind, I said, you know, if I imagine you climbing all day long, I would be sore, right? My arms would be sore, my legs would be sore, my body would be sore. I said, wasn't it like painful the next day? Weren't you just completely sore after climbing? He goes, oh, it was so painful. It literally ruined the rest of the vacation. We just couldn't even get out of bed the next day, right? I was like, good, man. I hate your vacation, right? And really, I felt that. I didn't say it, but I felt it, okay? But this is the effects to a human soul that's going on when we look at pictures, images, through the lens of our physical eye. That's just my point. That's just the illustration. So when others come bearing other images and pictures, thoughts, and sharing that insight with you, how much more can God use those thoughts, those images, those pictures to raise and elevate, lift up, strengthen, encourage, comfort your psyche? If I'm really being honest, see that smile that I have? That's such a fake smile. That's just fake smile, because you know why? It was about 5:30, it was cold. You guys have like boots, and you guys have maybe snow pants, snow gear, you have thermos. We have nothing, right? In San Diego, we have jeans for winter. That's all is needed, okay? So we're up there. We did get the snow pants and the boots for the kids. We didn't want to make them suffer. But for mom and dad, we were just in our tennis shoes, in our socks, and in our jeans. We were soaked. I was soaked to here. Pulling that sled, pushing kids. I was good dad, okay? I wanted them to have fun, but I was miserable. It was 5:30, it was cold, and my wife wants to take a selfie. No, I want to get into the house, into the cabin, but she's saying, no, take one, honey, selfie, one selfie. Just smile, I still remember. She's screaming at us, just smile, okay? So I'm like, ah, right? And my kids, you know, they're young kids, they're all over the place. I remember this moment, Jason, my second one, just normal smile, stop making ugly faces, right? And you parents know, right? You parents know there's burst mode on these iPhones where you take like 50 shots and you get one maybe that's worthwhile. That was what was going on. I think we took 100 shots, right? And as she flipped through all of them, there was one picture that came out where we looked pretty happy, okay? Yeah, that's my story, right? But again, the point is, how can a fake picture, a posed picture, create so much, I don't know, emotional turbulence? I think it's the power of the pictures. And so if God wants to use our mind's eye, so to speak, and reveal his goodness, his encouragement, his message, I'm okay with that. And oftentimes when like people like Pastor Sam pray for me and show me these pictures, it really addresses what's going on in my heart. Maybe a little bit subjective, so let me end with this. If you ask a typical Western seminary student, you go to one of these American seminaries, and you ask the question, what is God like? Tell me what God is like. Immediately, in our Western-trained, abstract way of thinking, we'll say God is holy, God is righteous, God is love, God is wise. 100% you get correct. You're right. God is all of those things. Now, I tell those seminary students in America, close your eyes and picture God as righteous, God is righteous, God is holy, God is wise, and God is love. And typically what happens is you close your eyes and there's this kind of blank. And maybe the word righteous like shows up again in white letters in black background or whatever. It's just kind of somewhere in there, righteous, righteous. Right? That's kind of how it works. You go to Jerusalem, you go to the more Eastern culture, and you ask the same question, what is God like? They start answering, God is a rock. You know, God is like bread. When I'm so hungry and there's stuff going on, oh, just think about that bread that fills me. And I feel so satisfied. God is like water in a desert community where we feel so dry. And then rain starts falling. Just water gushes, and you're like, that sounds so amazing. That's how they communicate. And it's not one is better than the other. I wouldn't put it that way. It's not one is wrong and the other is right. But typically, this is kind of what's going on. And so if God wants to come to the church in the West, the church in America, and begin to convey and speak to us using the prophetic ministry. And at times, he uses the Bible. At times, he uses songs. At times, he uses pictures to say, this is what I want to say to you. Why not say, thank you, God. I'm open to that. That really strengthens me, encourages me, it comforts me. And thank you for that word of God. I think that's what's going on in prophetic ministry. My encouragement is, again, for many of us who may have been ambivalent or are feeling like that's for the professional prophets, but I really believe the active priestly role of praying on behalf of someone, but also listening to God's heart and his voice to share what God is saying, is something that all of us can engage in. I get it, some may be better than others. So maybe more gifted than others. I agree with that. I think all of us ought to make some progress in this. Amen? Is that okay? Thank you, Pastor. Okay.